to bring you up to speed, we Friday night was a car accident. Two of the children were ejected out of the vehicle. One of the neighbors had grabbed a hold of a young girl, so I guess she was 7 years old, died in her arms. The little boy, I think he's five or six, could not move his legs. We're hoping it's just the trauma of being ejected and there's no damage, that he will recover from that. The mother's in very serious condition. They had to airlift all passengers out, which happened, if you know where I live, they had a helicopter waiting down there at where they used to sell cars, right at the corner of Winslow and Lebanon, or Winslow and Malaga. So it was quite serious. And we shouldn't dwell on that tragedy. We have to look at what God is going to do. And it causes me to reflect my life, even to a point where there's so much going on in our lives. We just need to give it to God. Just give it to Him. He's the one that's in control. And I know that's easier said than done, but that's what we're told. Cast all our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. What we tend to do is give it to Him, then we hold on to it. Don't we? Learn to give it to Him. Learn to... Gomez, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Lord, I have Your word, and I know it's true.
Lord, I have Your word, and I know it's true.
Everything it says I have.
I have everything it says I have.
I am everything it says I am.
I am everything it says I am.
And I can do everything it says I can do.
And I can do everything it says I can do.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Last week, I had the burden of the Lord upon me, and that doesn't happen too often. And we were talking about growing up, and one of the things that really sticks in my spirit is Ephesians 4:13. It says, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is His word, not our words. And so today's message is about growing up. And what we're going to do is we're going to go back and check some stuff out. Sometimes what we do is when we get on a road map and stuff, and I love GPS today, because when you make a turn and Alice says, recalculate, you know, to get us back to our destination. So we're going to go let the Holy Spirit recalculate us. And I want you to just close your eyes. I'm going to read three scriptures. This is not the text of the... But I just want to read these things to you so you can get the gist of what our Father is saying to us. Romans 1:16-17 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, first the Jew and then also the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Luke 6:46-49. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently against this house, but could not shake it from its foundation, for its foundations was found on a rock. But he who heard and did not, he is like a man who built a house on earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and that the ruin of the house was great. And finally, 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 11. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can be laid than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. God is building something individually and collectively. And in the key words in here is foundation and building. And what we're going to do today is we're going to start by going back to the beginning. What was it that drew you to Jesus Christ? What we have to understand is we are in a process, a building process. We are not finished. And God knows that the walking with God, it seems like there's more wickedness that I see within me and constantly going to the cross and asking to God, kill that flesh and give me more grace in that. And those who are very close to me understand that process. It's kind of like this Jekyll and Hyde type of individual. But we're exhorted not to know a man after the flesh, but after what? The Spirit. And so what God is building is He is building our spirits, because one day our flesh is going to expire. And Irene and I, we were out last night, and she had to do a little stuff, so we made it our date night. To go out. And we talked about this. We talked about, you know, the tragedy that had happened. It, you know, we would be tremendously distraught if she or I expired before the other one. And understand, our relationship has spanned it 44 years. And so that loss to us would be great. Much the same as for yours, and you celebrate 25, and you guys haven't hit double digit yet, but you're growing together. God is building your lives in such a way. But the interesting thing is, He's building it with Himself, bringing us together with Him. That's why it's important that we have a foundation of faith, and we have an understanding as to who He is. And so today what I want us to do is understand that what He is building in your life, let us not focus on what we see ourselves as right now. Let us agree with God, like He spoke to me this morning, that He is well pleased. Why? Because He's doing something. He's doing something. Amen? Turn to, this is the text. Turn to Matthew 16, verses 13 through 18. And the foundation that we have to allow Him to lay is a foundation of faith. Everything in the kingdom, how it operates, our attainment of things, is through faith. Romans tells us He gives us a measure of faith. I call that saving faith. He's put into each one of us this measure of faith so that at the right time, under the right conditions and situations, we give our lives to Jesus Christ. Let's read. Matthew 16. And when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And so they said to him, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or even one of the other prophets. Then he says to them, but who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered him and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered him and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There are several things in here, but I want you to grasp something. I want you to grasp the principles of laying this foundation of faith. And what we need to do is systematically take this apart. And I'm going to work backwards. The reason for it is because so many people struggle with this going forward. So let's work it backwards. Jesus has a comparison. And that comparison deals with material, building material. And he says, Simon Bar-Jonah, I'm going to change your name. Just like he's changed all our names. We haven't realized it yet. When we get to heaven, we will see what our new name is. But he says to Peter, he says, Simon Bar-Jonah, I'm going to change your name to Peter. Petros, in the Greek, means little stone. And you use stones in building materials. Those of us who have built understand this process of building. I've built two homes, worked in other areas of construction through my life. So I understand the building process. I understand those principles that are needed. But he says something really interesting in that he says he will build his church. Who's the church? We are. All the believers in Jesus Christ is the church. Not the make-believers. Because he knows who they are too. And I'm not trying to condemn them. I'm trying to invite them to be a part of his family. He uses the word rock as Petra. Translate it. Large rock, immovable. Sometimes there are obstacles in our lives that seem, one, we're unable to penetrate it, and two, they're immovable. To God, nothing is impossible. Nothing. He spoke you and me into existence, especially with his creation of the universe. But what he wants us to understand that there is a rock, a foundation, as he said in Matthew, that's immovable. A lot of people get scared into the kingdom. I am not one of them. Nor do I scare people into the kingdom. I rebuke those who do. You must make a conscious decision, free from pressure, free from traditions of men, free from opinions, free from denominationalism. I've come out of the Presbyterian background. My parents were Presbyterians. My father did not practice his faith. My mother was a Presbyterian in name only. She didn't have a relationship with the Lord. She sent us to church, and the rest is history. Jesus is our rock, according to Acts 4, 9 through 12, Psalm 18, 2, and Psalm 62, 1 through 7. And I could give you a plethora of other scriptures. He is our rock. And when the life storms come, and they do come, He uses those storms in which He wants to show what's going on the inside of us. And before we have all we have is this saving faith that's contained within us, that He wants to create a situation in which pressure, moisture, and nutrients break that outer shell so that faith can emerge. That may sound simplistic, but that's what He does. Then He asks questions. He asked all of us the same questions. It's no different 2,000 years ago as it is today. People ask us, well, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And we come up with all kinds of cliches and stuff, which they already know. But I think the most important question is, who do you say is Jesus? And so what we want to understand is that this is a personal invitation that Jesus is making, and we're all believers here. But I want you to see something here. When He asked Peter what was going on, He had a purpose in this. He took a personal and direct confrontation with Peter, and as a matter of fact, with all His disciples. And He asked them, who was He to them? And their response is, one of the prophets, one of these other guys, one of these people. And we do the same thing. We talk about the stuff of Jesus. We talk about the Christianese of the church. But who is Jesus to you? To me, He's my Lord and Savior. He is my rock. He is my supplier. When I run into tough times, I go to Him. I lay it before Him. I want to know what's going on. That doesn't mean that my flesh doesn't get out of control sometimes. It just means I know who Jesus is. Second, He was requiring a response to this confrontation. And we all have to respond. Mind you, the only thing of faith that we have is what has God put into us already. And so Peter responds, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, Peter knew Jesus as Joseph's son. He knew Him in the physical realm. And we know each other because of the physical realm that we habitate, and we get to know people. But is that really the true measure of that person? No, it's not, because it's askewed. It's what's in front of us. And sometimes we behave badly, and we cause untold damage in the kingdom before we get saved. Peter got a revelation of who Jesus Christ is and declared, you are the Christ. Is He your Christ? See, he died for the world, knowing that the world would reject him, but there would be a remnant within the world through all generations that would accept him. He kept that seed going out. That's why it's important when Paul says that we come into the unity of faith and into the knowledge of the Son of God. It's not knowing about him. It's not knowing about the stuff that he's capable of doing. It's knowing him intimately. I know my wife intimately because I spend a lot of time with her, and I want to spend time with her. I know my kids intimately because I spend time with my kids. I know my God intimately because I spend a lot of time with him. There are things that are going on that I need answers to. I need direction. I need to sit at his feet patiently as he orchestrates this stuff and gives me continued revelation of who he is and his unfathomable abilities to do things. Then we see that there's a confession that is made. And I know this may seem very remedial, but I think it's real good because we're going to spend a little time on faith for the next several weeks so that we build properly with each other. Because it doesn't matter if we come in here, we sing songs, we get caught up in the Spirit, if that's our experience. We need to experience more of Jesus Christ each and every day, and that requires a little less flesh going to the cross and a whole lot more allowing him to reveal himself to us. But that's not the end of it. If we look back, he says, Lord, Lord, why do you call me Lord and you don't do what I tell you to do? Is he Lord? Is he your Lord? When somebody asks me about Jesus, he's my Lord, he's my King. It's not an option not to do what he tells me to do. He expects me to do what he tells me to do. And there are consequences when I don't do the things that he tells me. And it's great that when I mess up, I can repent. I can get it under the blood. But I have to do what he tells me to do. It's for my success, not his. He's already successful. He wants us to come into that realization that no matter what the world throws at us, no matter what situation we've created, he's not at blame, but he will straighten our mess out if we do it his way. And I've had a lot of practice of messing up. I tell people, I didn't get this smart because God opened my head, poured it all in. Those who know me, I tend to be a dunderhead. I tend to be stubborn. I tend to want to hold on to what I have. And I don't release quickly. Although we're to walk by faith, not by sight. And it's okay. Daddy says he's well pleased with me. But I haven't arrived. If not, somebody else, if I had arrived, somebody else would be in the pulpit. I say that you need to have a combination of faith and revelation of Jesus Christ. Faith in His ability. Stop having faith in your ability. Your ability only messes it up more. I can attest to that. I'm a person who only wants what I want. And I've learned the hard way that it's God's way or no way. Need faith. We need a revelation. And it's a progressive revelation. When I need more of Jesus, I want more revelation. I need to know what His plan is. I need to know His desire about things. I need to know Him more. When we sing that song, I want you. I want to know you more. Right? Some of you may be asking, well, is this possible? Can you have faith and a revelation? Because after all, we're in the modern times. This stuff doesn't happen anymore. It only happened because Jesus came and walked the earth, and then when He ascended onto high, it stopped. Well, let me give you two reasons why I believe it's possible. One, Peter knew Jesus was human in human form, that He was Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, the son of a carpenter. But God revealed to him His divine and His eternal Son. He revealed it. How does that happen? How does that revelation come? I'm glad you asked. For me, I know that I know that He's the Son of God. I can't explain it to you. I can't give you words. I just know that the day I rolled my car down the embankment and almost killed my family, I knew it was God. His hand was out and stayed us, kept us as one. I know that it was God who took me out of that situation, sat me down, and was waiting for me to say, Lord, take over my life, which I gladly did. I almost lost everything that was important to me. And so I have a revelation of Jesus Christ that may not be common. I have an inner witness that He is who the Scriptures say. They testify Him. And that's what we have to realize. They testify Him. And when I open my mouth, I'm the second witness to the Scriptures. I testify that what they say is true. If it happened when He revealed Himself to Abram, and it happened when He revealed Himself to Peter, and it happened when He revealed Himself to me, then yes, it's possible. Two. And you can find that out of Hebrews 13:6 or 6-8. The bottom line is, He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Two. Peter's revelation of Jesus Christ did not come by flesh and blood. By that, it did not come by a witness of a man. Didn't come because I told you that He's God. Didn't come because that's what the denomination says. Didn't come because this is what our parents believe, so I'll believe the same thing. Didn't come This revelation can only come from the Spirit of God. And His desire is that we know the living God. John 16, 13 and 14. So states this in Jesus' prayer. The gospel that we preach, that I am not ashamed of, transcends all human intellect, transcends all time, languages, cultures, customs, and even opinions. This is a divine revelation that we know, that we know. And Romans tells us that the Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we are the sons of God. Now, if you've had this, you are a child of the Most High God. You are a supernatural being encapsulated in a fallen container filled with power and glory that our Father says we have. And there is nothing, not one thing impossible to them who believe. Do you believe this? It's true. He gives us saving faith. Mind you, the foundation hasn't even been laid yet. It's just a seed in us. But when we believe in our heart, make confession in the mouth, we call that the inner witness, the revelation of Jesus Christ, being born again from on high. Regeneration. God wants to know us. He knows us intimately. He wants us to know Him intimately. And He's playing, and we're playing games. He doesn't want us to know about Him, according to John 17:3. That only carries so far. Knowing about how to build a house is kind of like the individual that he spoke of who just builds their house on the dirt. And when the pressures of life comes, we'll see what kind of house you built. I know, mine fell apart. I was destined to lose everything. When we stop pretending to know about God and start learning who He is, the only way that happens is when we give our life over to Him. That's not an easy thing to do. Again, I'm speaking from experience. Even though I messed up many, many times, God was very gracious to me. And because His love for me and a love for my family, He healed my marriage. He restored my relationship to my bride. He truly had me understand what covenant relationship is all about. It wasn't just a few words that we said idly to each other. They were meant as conditions of our faith to each other before a holy God. And when we don't perform, we don't do the things that God requires of us, people will put up with that for so long. And what I had found out was when God entered into my life, my wife had already squirreled away some cash. She was planning on leaving. She had had just about enough of my shenanigans. And I don't say that glibly, because generally what happens is, guys, I'm only speaking to you. We have a false sense of what it means to be the man in a household. We think that going to work, getting a paycheck, and coming home is the extent of our responsibility to our wives and our children. That's only the beginning. And God showed me that before Eve, all the responsibility was on who? Adam. On the man. He didn't take anything from him. He just made somebody to help man. And my wife has been a tremendous helpmate in my life, of which I see the goodness of God, that He supplied me with a person that would help me, but not only help me, but lead me into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. As I said before, what happens is we don't have the peace in our lives. Our lives are filled with turmoil. Why? Because we want to control our lives. We want what we want. Don't let anybody tell us. And I've learned, you can tell me whatever you want to tell me. You can live your life the way you want to live. But I'm going to be like Joshua. It's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. And I'm going to let those blessings come upon my life to roll out and be blessings on the other people's lives. I'm not perfect. I didn't arrive. But what I want to say is that until you allow the pressures that you are under, break open that seed of faith, you have no foundation. What you built is upon sand. I've been there. I did that. That act. Don't work. Does not work. You can't have Jesus Christ as your Savior only. He must be Lord, or He's not Lord at all. He wants to be Lord over your life. He wants to change you from the inside out. He wants to correct the way we think about things and cause that to go into actions that glorify Him. Remember I said God speaks to my spirit. He enlightens my mind to motivate my flesh to do His will. That's my purpose in life, is to try to help people in those little four steps wrapped all together called love. If you don't want to do it, okay. Salvation is not cheap. And what we have done in the American church has made it very cheap. We have not realized what it cost God to bring us into this. The Bible's the only book that describes the depravity of the human condition. But it doesn't stop there. It gives us the answer to all our depravity. And it's found in one person, Jesus Christ. Who do you say He is? Who do you say he is? Is a question only you can answer. I can't answer for you. I can tell you who he is to me. I could tell my kids who he is to me. They could tell me who he is to them. God died on a cross to pay for our sin and rebellion. And to all who believe, that seed of faith has been broken. The next step is if we're willing to allow Him to lay that foundation. And we're going to talk about that next week. I just want you to think about this. This is not what we have done in this country to the people of God, is we have cheapened it. Or what we have done is we've turned it into religion. I want us to have a relationship with the living God. And so does He. That's what He died for. Pastor Mike, would you end us in prayer?